knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
I always love talking to Dean, Bill.
There's nothing better than talking to Dean Richards, Wendy.
As much as I love talking to you guys.
Oh.
You're sweet.
You're a sweet talker.
I am preoccupied today because I have to go to the store and start buying bread and milk in panic mode.
Stock up, Dean.
Alcohol, too. Need vodka. Oh, sorry. Was I on the air?
Now, do you only get Dean's milk? Because that would make sense.
I do because of Dean.
He gets money. You get a kickback on
have
that.
Have you tried my cottage cheese?
The best.
Yes. And your sour cream.
The best.
Thank you.
And your kolachkis.
Thank you.
Those are so good.
I just made up a batch for Bill. I don't really sell those.
So good. Dean, Quincy Jones, nutcase or not nutcase?
Nutcase.
Nutcase?
Yeah. Well, that term is, you know, it varies.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean it in the nicest way possible.
But some of what he said in this interview, he's getting a lot of publicity for this interview he just did with New York Magazine, right?
Because it's nutsy.
A lot of it's nutsy, yeah.
For their website, vulture.com.
Oh, for vulture.com. All right, so let's start out with the one that made Wendy and I chuckle the most, and that's him saying that Marlon Brando was a little amorous and would have sex with a mailbox if he had the chance.
Well, he was just saying that. I don't think he did have
Marlon Brando never did.
I've spoken to a couple of mailboxes from in New York where when he was doing a Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be a randy sort of man.
Oh, how about that?
Good for him.
Wow, count
life's
the euphemisms.
Too short.
Count the euphemisms in this segment today and win a prize.
Now the other,
supposedly he that Marlon Brando was super horny.
Yeah,
and that he had a sexual relationship with Richard Pryor.
Yes, but now there are people who, since he said this, are confirming it. People close to, like Richard Pryor's ex-wife is chief among them.
Richard Pryor's wife
said
that people in Richard Pryor's inner circle knew.
Don't say inner circle.
Wendy, you just embarrassed Dean and a mailbox.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm pervy. I'm sorry. See, the listener said
they're
that.
Right. And they were right. You're pervy.
Pervy McPervy thing today. You are.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor's ex-wife has confirmed this to be true.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I never would have put those two together. I really wouldn't. Seriously.
No, I know.
I mean,
who would have been a better matchup?
Well, I can't think. It just
Jackie Mason.
That's interesting.
What?
I don't know.
You want to have a sexual relationship with me? What?
What? You don't like a mailbox is right down the street? That's not good
enough. Get a cup of coffee first before.
Hypothetically.
But, I mean, they didn't run in the same circles,
no.
Did they?
Well, they were both, you know, show business giants.
Yeah, but one was, you know, a dramatic actor. Yeah. One was a comic. I just wouldn't have seen them.
There was nothing funny about what those two were doing, apparently.
Opposites attract. Right.
He also, Quincy Jones, back to his nutsy interview, also implied, he threw a couple of people into that bisexual under the bus, like Marvin Gaye. And there was another one, too, that I'm trying to scroll through the article to find it right now.
Read. It was Marvin Gaye and someone else.
I'll find it.
Milton Berle.
It's Milton Berle.
It can't be Jackie Mason. I could have done that, too.
And somebody said that Wally Cox and Marlon Brando were...
Wally who?
Wally Cox.
Oh, stop it.
Underdog.
God, you get us in trouble. Dean's the pervy
Dean's
one.
Dean's a perv. James Baldwin Dean was the other person.
Who's that?
I'm not sure.
He's an author.
Oh, yeah, that's who it is. It's James Baldwin.
Very famous author.
Right.
I have never heard Bill not know who someone is.
Well,
I'm sorry.
There was a White Sox pitcher named James Baldwin, and I'm like, are they thinking of the White Sox pitcher, James Baldwin?
Doubtful.
But the answer is no. Yeah, Wally Cox, who was...
are you just going to keep saying that?
Mr. Peepers, right? Right? He was underdog.
Mr. Peepers an underdog.
Yeah.
And Hollywood Squares.
Underpants.
Hollywood Squares. He and Marlon Brando were longtime friends and roommates, despite the fact that Marlon Brando was, you know, at the time, America's leading box office draw, and Wally Cox was just kind of a nebbishy TV actor.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
That's a weird combo, too. Now, did they have a thing?
No, I don't know that was ever implied. I don't know. I don't know. Huh. But you know what that reminds me of, Dean, is for years, Marilyn Monroe's best friend and roommate was Shelley Winters, and you wouldn't put those guys together as friends or roommates.
Right, except, I mean, they were young actresses coming up at the same time and, you know, probably were, you know, both young, up-and-coming actresses.
Right.
At the same time, and you know, just stay true to themselves. And you know, you're thinking of Poseidon Adventure, Shelley Winters.
Winters was beautiful.
Shelley Winters was a knockout in the early days, and I would put her up to Marilyn Monroe.
And funny.
Yeah. All right. Okay, that's valid then. But wouldn't that have been an interesting double date to get Marlon Brando, Wally Cox, Marilyn Monroe, and Shelley Winters all at the TGI Fridays?
That would, playing Monopoly.
That would be great.
That would be. So one of the other things that in the Quincy Jones interview that I thought was hilarious is he was talking about the Beatles, who he called the worst musicians in the world.
In the world. The Beatles were the worst in the world.
No playing blank blankers.
Yeah.
Paul was the worst bass player I ever heard, says Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
And he said, Ringo, don't even talk about it.
Well, I mean, do you want to be honest about it? The Beatles had a great sound. They wrote great songs. I don't know if being musicians was at the top of their talent heap.
So
they have to be pretty good.
But I don't know, like, if you go for, like, great guitar players. George Harrison was pretty good at times. John, okay. I mean, they weren't top of the heap.
And maybe in their early days, but I would argue in their, you know, their later, the later parts of their lives that they were much more skilled craftsmen.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess.
Sure.
Than when they were doing, you know, basically three chords and their songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So does Quincy Jones say these things just to be nutty or to sell newspapers or
what
magazines?
What is he selling, yeah. We haven't talked about him in a while.
I just think he's 85 years old, and, you know, you get to an age and you don't
old
care.
Old coot age.
Yeah.
you don't care at some point anymore. You just say what you want to say. Well, who's gonna stop him?
That's
who's gonna hurt him?
Yep.
He says he knows who killed John F. Kennedy. That he says it was Chicago mobster Sam Giancana. There was a connection between Sinatra and the mafia and Kennedy. Joe Kennedy said he was a bad man, and he came to Frank to have him talk to Giancana about getting votes.
Now, this is a theory, by the way, that's been floating around for years. You've heard the theory in the past, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But Quincy Jones says he knows that that's how it went down.
How does he know?
I don't know.
You know, everyone knows before you commit an assassination, you contact a music producer.
Right.
Just to see.
Right.
Just want to see what you think of my plan.
Does he also think that Sam Giancana would have improved the Beatles if he had been one of the Beatles?
Maybe.
Would that have been a better band?
Possibly.
All right.
Possibly. He talked about Jimi Hendrix in this interview.
Yeah. What was wrong with Jimmy?
He just said that he was so insecure and so nervous, he didn't even want to play with his own band.
Hmm.
I believe that.
He didn't feel like he was up to playing with his own musicians.
Hmm.
Said that Michael Jackson, he tried to talk Michael Jackson out of all the plastic surgery. Michael Jackson said it was because he had skin disease, that he had to have all of this work done. He
also said Michael Jackson stole songs from Donna Summer.
From Donna Summer, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't know.
What does Donna Summer have to say about that?
She's no longer with
get
us.
Get her on the phone, Jasmine.
No longer with us.
Oh, then no that's longer. Then you'll get no a raise if you get her.
1-800-I'm-dead is the number if you don't have it.
Donna Summer is no longer with us?
Yeah, I think she died a few years ago.
Right?
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Yep. All right, let's take a little break.
Last
chance for love. It's true. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more
Wally
with Dean.
Cox
we'll
originally
find
sang
out
that song.
which movies to see and which not to see this weekend. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
So let's dance. Let's dance. Let's dance.
I could see where Michael Jackson would steal a song like this. I could see that. Dean Richards is here with us, talking movies, talking show business. Dean, another 50 Shades movie. Hooray!
I didn't see the first one.
The first two.
Did you see the second one?
What?
Yeah, this is the third.
I haven't seen any of them. Or I haven't read the book.
Books?
No, I live it.
You have restored my faith in you, Wendy, because I was trying to decide...
who watches these things?
How I was going to somehow hit you on the head with a mallet had you been a big fan of this.
Nope.
This is the third and best 50 Shades to Leave Your Lover, Dean. Is that the title?
That's That's right. That's right. They made a collaboration with Paul Simon. Mm-hmm. And if only that song was in the movie, because then there would be some entertainment value to
it. Oh, it's that bad?
It's awful. Hmm. It's just awful. I know a lot of people love these book series. I know a lot of people just take it, you know, as fun fantasy. I think it's unintentionally hilarious, not in a good way. It's embarrassing. The couple, Anastasia and Christian, now Mr. and Mrs. Bale, they got married.
Yay!
Are dealing with wedded bliss.
Christian Bale.
Not Christian Grey.
Christian Grey.
Bale's what Dean wanted to do on the movie 10 yeah. minutes in.
That would be fantastic, though, if Christian Bale was in.
Well, then Batman. It would spice it up a little bit.
If they were in their fetish room and Batman showed up, that's the Dark Knight. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. They do wear a lot of masks in the movie.
Oh, please.
But, so now they're married. Now they have big security concerns. It's a ridiculous storyline that is, Jamie Dornan, who plays Christian Grey in the movie, has already said he doesn't want to be a part of any more of this.
Yeah.
So I hope that this is going to be the last of it. I don't think the second movie did very well, so I'm guessing that they're probably not going to do another one. But it's ridiculous. Everything that happens in this movie, they resolve by getting into some kind of kinky situation.
Right.
I can't. Where's the letter opener? I don't know. Maybe we better go to the secret room and make love.
Oh.
I found it laughable. I found it embarrassing. The storyline is ridiculous. There's nothing really special about the movie making at all.
Hmm.
There are nice-looking people in it. There's, nothing but nice-looking people in it.
And pretty locations,
and
right?
Very beautiful locations. Yeah so, I'll give them that. But there is nothing to this movie. I know, if you're a fan of it, you're going to disagree. I'm guessing they probably did not. I'm not the target audience for this movie. So I gave it a Dean's List, a D-.
D- on the new 50 Shades.
Worst grade of the year so far.
All right.
And there have been some pretty awful movies this year.
Yep. That says a lot. And then Clint Eastwood has a new movie out.
This one is interesting. It's called 1517 to Paris. And it is the true story. Remember those three Americans who were traveling back in 2015? They were on a train when a terrorist attack
was
about to take place. And they very heroically stepped up went after the terrorist, wrestled him down. Got injured themselves. Some people were shot and hurt, but nobody was killed. This could have been a horrible tragedy had these three Americans not intervened. So in that sense, this movie is so well-intentioned. And Clint Eastwood does a nice job in telling the story. It's really different. You think you're going to go and see a story about this train ride and what happened. But really, what Clint Eastwood does is take you back to the childhood of these three lifelong friends back in middle school. And so you understand, their relationship and their interests and the things that they, like and their passions from being little boys. So you better understand them as adults. So that's very interesting. And the story kind of flashes back and forth from their childhood to the terrorist, getting on the train, flashes back to the past. The terrorist doing something else on the train. So back and forth and back and forth. So well-intentioned, Clint Eastwood cast the three actual heroes to play themselves in this movie.
Wow.
Anthony Sadler, Alex Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone. I'm sorry to say, that they would have been much better off picking three actors to play these guys.
Yeah.
Their acting really is not that good. It grinds this movie to a halt anytime there's any kind of actual dialogue that needs to be spoken or any kind of emotion that needs to be in a scene. It really slows the movie down and creates a boredom to this movie that the movie didn't deserve. So while I applaud the intention I think that Clint Eastwood, I get what he was doing. He was, you know, trying to honor these guys, I think, and say, who can tell these guys' stories better than themselves? Turns out three other actors probably could have told
Dean, the only other time I remember that was an old movie about Audie Murphy where he played himself. He was a war hero, and they had him play himself in the movie. I don't remember any other instance of that, do you?
You know what? I was reading someplace last night a couple of other examples, not huge movies, but there were a couple of other cases in which that happened. Nothing earth-shattering, but Audie Murphy was an actor, though.
Yeah, he became one, yeah, later on.
You know, so, you know, I think that was different. I don't see these three guys
branching
acting
out.
Career, yeah. You know, coming out of this. But although I applaud the effort, I still wound up giving it a C minus. It really hurts the film. It really gets in the way of telling a fluid, emotion filled story that I think a lot of us thought that this movie was going to be. So I gave it a C minus on this one.
Dean, great to talk to you. Take care of yourself. There's snow coming.
I'm. Can I get some bread or milk?
Yes,
for
we will get you some bread and milk if you need some, or if you want to get some for us. Yeah, that's
stocking
fine.
Stocking up. I know a store. I don't want to give the location where I can buy in bulk Charleston Chew bars.
Oh.
I don't know why I like those during a storm.
Because you can
comforting.
Put them in the snow and freeze them.
Oh, yeah, they're delicious.
You know what? That may be it. That may be it. But so that's where I'm going to be for the next several days while we're all digging out.
All right. Take care of yourself. Thank you, Dean. Bye. That's Dean Richards, everybody.